Welcome to The Power of Me, creating meaningful success for female leaders who already have achieved success but still suffer from self-doubt, comparison, competition, and are looking to transform their mindset. Here's your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Power of Me, creating meaningful success. And of course, I love, love, love when other female leaders join me and bring their expression of what it has been for them and, you know, how they see leadership for women being in general and so on. You know, these conversations are just so wonderful. So today I have with me Julie, is it Fouch? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, really good.
Hey, awesome.
So I messed that up.
Yeah. And you know what? I was going to ask you beforehand and I realized as I hit record, I went, oh, I forgot to ask her. So lucky guess. Good.
Good job.
All right, you guys. So let me tell you a little bit about Julie and then we will get this little conversation started. Okay. So when Julie Fouch decided she needed to take her coaching business seriously, she hired a high-end coach and learned to market like a man. She doubled and tripled her income in less than a year, but felt drained, uninspired, and restless. Urged by spirit, she embraced her essential feminine and birthed a new way, the art of feminine business. Today, Julie teaches female coaches, teachers, and healers who are frustrated with traditional formulas how to build six-figure businesses that honor their feminine essence. Julie's clients report having clearer vision of their divine purpose, greater passion for their work, the skills to be attracting the perfect clients, and are being well paid for their gifts. Julie received her coach certification in 2006 from the Coaches Training Institute. She has served on the boards of numerous nonprofits and was named Woman of the Year by the Professional Women's Network of the Monterey Peninsula in 2013. She's married to the love of her life, has four children, two stepchildren, two furry babies, and eight spoiled grandchildren. That sounds like a wonderful group of people and fur babies. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, they're priority for sure.
I can totally understand that, by the way. We have two fur babies. We just adopted another one. So that's how we have two. Yes, he is, I think he's almost 4 months. He'll be 4 months next week. So yeah.
Puppy or kitten?
Oh, puppy. We got a golden retriever and we already had a Labrador retriever. We like retrievers, I guess.
Oh, just a minute. I lost you. There you are. we have cats. So I have a Maine Coon and then I just have an orange cat. And you know, orange cats are weird. They're just weird little critters.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
But
yeah, they are funny little cats, aren't they?
Yeah. So one of the things I love about being my own boss and having my own business is that I take two afternoons a week to spend with my grandchildren. And, you know, they've been around me enough. They treat me like they treat their parents. So it can be a little crunchy, mm-hmm. but I get to be such a part of their lives that it makes it all really worthwhile.
That's wonderful. So I have a couple of questions for you though. So what I wanted to ask you, because I love to ask all my guests this. So when you were a little girl, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, for the longest time, I wanted to be Merv Griffin. Okay. Have my own interview show. And then I thought maybe I'd be an actress for a while. And maybe I'd be an actress who was a guest on Merv's show, right?
Uh-huh. I like that strategy. That's good.
Yeah. So I'd get to have both. That was really the plan.
Love
and
that.
Then I was a drama geek in high school. And my first go at college, I was in a drama program. So I was kind of halfway taking it seriously.
I think it sounds like that. So your first go at college, so you went back to college or you quit college? What happened there?
Yeah. So I got raised in this family of, there were five of us. And my dad said to his girls after we were all grown, he said, I raised my boys to get along in the world. I raised my girls to be taken care of.
Mm.
I think maybe I made a mistake there. And as his three divorced daughters sat in front of him, we all said, yeah, maybe. So I actually ended up getting married just before I turned 19. I got married because that's what I had been raised to do. Got good Catholic girl, got pregnant, had my first kid, quit college to stay home, had my second kid, went back to college, got pregnant again. Like, and I had this back and forth. And what I ended up doing instead of finishing a degree is I took every English course I could. So I'm way overloaded on English courses.
Why did you decide to do that? I'm just curious. Did you have like a curiosity about English? You love English?
Yeah. That was what if I could take a, course on Greek gods or a course on, biology, I was going to choose the Greek gods. And I just stopped paying attention to what the criteria was to get a degree and took what I was interested in. And it's kind of the way I've built my business for the last 20 years too. It's like, and it's one of the ways that I will look at formulas and follow a formula the way it makes sense to me rather than the way it's laid out. Because I have to go where the joy is, where the desire is.
What do you find that it brings you if you go where the joy or desire is? It brings you something. What is that?
It really opens the space for more good things to come, for more abundance to flow, for more love, for more acknowledgement, all the things that really drive me, more connection, more community, come when I am following desire and joy. And when I start following shoulds or have to's or somebody else's formula that I haven't tweaked to make my own, everything starts to shut down. I get tighter. Money gets tighter. The influx of clients gets tighter and smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's really in those moments I have to stop and say, oh, no, this is really about following desire, following joy. Source wants us to have these wild, vibrant, juicy, amazing lives. We were not born, although the Industrial Revolution wants us to think this, we were not born to be cogs in a factory.
Right.
We were born to experience. And so the soul leads with desire. Mm-hmm. And it's not the surface level desires, the surface level of, oh, my neighbor got a new car. I desire a car. Mm-hmm. Or, you and I talked on my podcast just a few minutes ago about competition, and we can mistake competition for desire. Like, I desire to make more than her. Or I desire to be more well-known than that person. Those are not desires. Those are not soul desires. Those are all ego desires. And if you follow ego desires, that shuts down your flow.
Here's an interesting question to that though, which is you can look at somebody and maybe not compare, but maybe be inspired, right? And go, oh, I think what she's doing with her business or her position is wonderful. It's inspiring me to want that. But I think it's having clarity of where that motivation comes from. If it is coming from that I'm going to compete, or that's the only way I'm going to be happy is if I do what that person's doing, rather than understanding that, happiness is going to be different for you because you're a different you than that person.
Absolutely. And I think you can tell, like, there's a gal I have known of her for years. She's up in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she runs this great group. And I got to spend some time with her last summer, and she's just really delightful. But she does things differently than I do. And when I look at what Jessica does, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, right? And it feels expansive. And then I can say, is that something that I want to do, or maybe do like that, or somehow incorporate that, mm-hmm. instead of looking at Jessica and going, she has so many people. And you can tell which you're in just by what your body does.
Right.
You know, my body, my shoulders go up, my fists get tighter, my whole body gets tighter when I'm in that competition space versus just being in this, that's fabulous space. Mm-hmm. I remember watching my sister-in-law years and years and years ago. She was probably 17 or 18, maybe in college. And she's a great saxophone player. And I was watching her. We were at a competition, so she was watching other people play. And the look on her face, she was just like in such joy for the music that other people were bringing. And there was no competition at all. She has very little competition in her anyway. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, that's the way I want to live my life. I will tell you, I can get really competitive. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not a master at this, but it's one of the things that I really aspire to. And you can tell which one you're in by how your body feels.
Right. Yeah. I think our body is always the signpost for everything. You know, if you want a clue about anything, you just got to check in with yourself. But we're not taught in our society to actually check in with ourselves. We're actually taught to use external circumstances to react to. And so I want to go back again to, so you went through college, taking all the English courses, and then somehow you ended up in your own business. Is that, I'm probably missing something in between. So I'm just curious, like, what happened?
Yeah, I spent 20 years in an abusive marriage. This is what happens when you get married at 19, when you're still too young to recognize the world. When I finally left, I was really, really, really broken. It was shit show. And I started taking some personal development courses. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I don't know how. I don't know, like, what I can teach. I don't know how to get involved in this. But this is transformational. And I was working with a shaman. And I was just like barely getting up off the floor to go to work. And I said to her, I need to be able to empower other women somehow. And that started this whole process of looking at, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I had always been an entrepreneur. I started my first official business at 12 years old. That business still exists in the town I grew up in. So it's been through several different people who have run that business.
What was it, by the way?
It was a little business. I was a little rebel, and we lived in this mountain community, beautiful, pristine mountain community. And I watched some visitors stop at the lake, take trash out of their car, dump it on the side of the road. Mm. And then they went into the little store to get some snacks, I guess, for their road trip home. And I grabbed their bag of trash and put it back in their car upside down. And they were furious. Mm-hmm. And one of our neighbor guys saw me do it, laughed hysterically. And then he said, look, I'm going to give you a dumpster. You can sit down here at the lake. You can charge $1 a bag and let people dump their trash in the dumpster. So that started my first business. And I spent the whole summer doing that. Every Sunday, I was down there taking their trash. And the dumpster's still there. It's in a different place. Somebody else runs it. But that was the start of it. And that was many more years ago than I care to admit. So I knew that I always wanted to do my own business. And when I was getting out of that marriage and discovering all these things about how to take responsibility for my life, how to create my own life, how to heal from everything that I had been through, how to take responsibility for what I'd put my kids through, raising them there, all of that, I knew that I really wanted to help other women do that, because I was starting to come back into, oh, I can. I am a powerful person. And I had not recognized that through my whole life because I went straight from this household of being raised to be taken care of into a household with a man who said, we are equal in every way unless we disagree, and then my decision is what will stand. And he was willing to back that up physically. Wow. So I didn't know that I had any power in me. And through that process, I discovered Coaches Training Institute. I started coaching, and then the whole thing just evolved. And it's been this really great journey. It's been almost 20 years now that I've been doing this work.
That's awesome. So in basically starting your own business and, you know, having it for the last 20 years. So what is the inspiration for you to be a leader?
You know, it really is my experience in that first marriage. My mission is to get more money in the hands of more women, because I stayed because I didn't think I could make enough money to support my four children. And when women have money, they have choice. They choose to stay or they choose to go because it's good for them, not because of money. They have the choice of doing things that enrich their lives. And as they enrich their lives, it raises their vibration. They raise the vibration on the planet, which is, by the way, how we save the planet. And they give to causes they believe in, which is also how we address the needs of the planet. And so my inspiration really falls back to who I was before. And that leads me to the space of, I have to be grateful for that experience, which on a human level is really hard to do. So I work really hard at saying there are gifts in that experience I had that have made me put this stake in the ground and be such a strong advocate for women having money.
Yes. Yes. I would agree with that. So what would you say as a leader are your greatest challenges? What do you come across as challenging for yourself?
I think for myself, there's a, one of the things is this line with my team. Like, I love my team. And I'm the boss, you know, like, so I have to hold that. I can't make suggestions. I can't be like, oh, I'm your friend. It's like, hey, this is not working. Do this. Or it has to be this way. This is why I hired you. That's one thing. The other thing is sometimes I've had this situation where I've coached people for so long that it started in their mind to feel like a friendship. And so I have to differentiate, you know, and I can remember being on retreat one day and saying, I'm your coach right now. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not going to go hang out with you at the hot tub. Right. I'm your coach right now. And so that's another leadership thing, because I'm really a people person. And then I've had to figure out, how do I transition those relationships where I've coached somebody for 4 or 5 years and they've graduated out, because I don't believe in institutionalization. I think there is a point where you're ready for a new coach. You're ready for new leadership. You're ready to learn from somebody new. And so how do I transition those relationships has been a really interesting growth. I think I've got a handle on that, but that's been another really interesting growth area in my own leadership.
That's good. I mean, it's good to recognize these things, I believe. So, you know, when you became a leader, which I don't know that we go into our business and go, I'm going to be a leader, or any position, right? We don't walk in saying, I'm going to be a leader. But that is part of what happens when you are an entrepreneur, or obviously you take a management position, you are a leader. So what would you say your goal as a leader is? Like, what, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, about, oh, I'm going to hit this much revenue or anything like that, because I think that goes with it, but it's really, what is your goal? Like, why be a leader? Why?
You know, that's a really interesting question when you put it that way. I feel like in my business, you know, in the beginning it was, I want to set my own schedule and make some money and somehow empower women. And over the years, it's been more of source giving me messages to share, right? And so, and that's actually when my leadership had stepped up, because before I was just imitating other people's stuff,
right,
and presenting it, and it was good, but it wasn't innovative or, you know, new thought, any of that. And now the call for leadership is that I don't think I have any choice. You know, I tap into source, and source says, hey, here's what we need to be doing with the world. This is where we're moving. You've been on this planet enough years that, babe, it's time for you to step into wisdom. And I get those messages, and it really is, you know, I'm different than I was 10 years ago when I was in this business. I really do feel that weight of, I've been on the planet for 60 years. There is wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this work for 2 decades. There is wisdom in that. And I have been, you know, meditating, tapping into source, the universe, God, whatever you call it, for 40 years. So there's some wisdom that comes through that. And as that, I don't have the option of going back to who I was. Mm-hmm. And source calls me forth. You know, every now and then I'll go, maybe I'll just retire. And source is like, nah, you're not done. Mm-hmm. You're not done. I don't feel like it's a choice anymore. I feel like in the beginning, when I was starting my practices, I had a choice that I could go down that road, or I could go down another road. And actually, when I left my first husband and I was in a meditation with my higher self, and she said, you can choose to stay in the relationship. You'll die, but you can choose to stay.
Right. Or
you can choose to leave. And I think when I left and I dedicated myself to listening to that voice and to listening to source, that was a point of no return.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And so, you know, I get the whole thing about not really having a choice about being a leader. I would say that I've always been a leader, even when I've not thought I was a leader. And I don't say that from a bragging perspective. I say that more from, I just have always had a vision. It's had different iterations, but I think that's the same for a lot of women that find themselves leaders. So what would, you know, before we wrap it up, what would a few things, like what would 3 things be that you would leave here for other leaders that are listening, seasoned leaders, you know, leaders that, I think sometimes we get really set in our ways because we've been leading for so long, or we've been doing what we've been doing for so long. But really, for the seasoned leaders, I know there's a lot of tips out there for leaders just getting started, or, you know, women that are looking to become a leader. But let's talk about the seasoned leader there.
I think the first thing is to hang out with other leaders. Mm-hmm. And to hang out in that sense, you know, that we talked about, that it's not hanging out of jealousy or wanting anything from them, but just being in their presence, just feeling their energy, noticing where it's different than yours. You know, I have friends and I hang out with them and I'm like, wow, her approach is really different. You know, I have one friend, I was talking to her yesterday because I'm taking a course from her because she teaches something that I don't know. And I'm like, wow, her way is so different than mine, but her wisdom I can learn from. So I think hang out with others would be one. Number 2 is pay attention to your practices. I think it's so easy to get into this groove of, I know, and so I can just like go. and to forget to, you know, my morning practice to stop, to drop in, to become present, to invite source energy in. Like when I do that, then I'm much more open. My days flow more easily and more good things happen. And so I think that it's easy when you're in leadership to say, but I've got these 15 things that I have to get done today and forget about your practices. So mm-hmm. really be in your practices. You want three things? Mm-hmm. One more. Okay. Favorite. Talk to money every day. Money is energy. And so you can have a conversation with it. And I have a conversation with money, or I'll have a conversation with my business. I'll say to my business, what do you need from me today? And sometimes my business is like, those five things on your to-do list, do them. And sometimes my business is like, those five things on your to-do list, put them away and go to the beach. And so talking to your business, talking to money, I've learned so much about money from talking to money. And every time I do, it brings in more money. And taking time for those practices as well.
Mm-hmm. Every yeah. day. Yeah. I think that we can get stuck in those habits of not really taking the time, you know, and we'll think, I'll get to it later. It's not that important. What's more important is what I do on a daily basis, or, you know, every day that I'm working. And I think we can really get lost in that. And that also, I think, hinders innovation. I think it hinders mm-hmm. creativity. And to me, as a leader, you always want to be innovating and being creative, especially seasoned leaders, because we can get stuck in those ruts. So yeah. Julie, I've really enjoyed our conversation today. I really think that my audience is probably getting a lot from this. Is there any parting words or anything you would like to share before we go?
Oh, let me tap in and see. So every one of us, what I'm hearing is that every one of us was born to be the leader of our life and the leaders of our tribe. We would not be doing the work we were doing without having that innate leadership within us. So stop pretending you're not a leader. Just step into it, brag, be fully present with it, and your people will love you for it.
I love that. I think that's great. So anyways, thank you again, Julie, for joining me. And I will see you guys on the next episode of The Power of Me. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Me. For more information or to learn about Tracy's programs, please email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com.